All right, this is Gary Parrish again, and this is the Eye on College Basketball Podcast again. I'm talking to you now on the morning of January 17th, which is a Friday morning, and I know some of you might be wondering why I'm actually talking to you on a Friday instead of a Thursday, and the reason is because I usually record an Eye on College Basketball Podcast on Monday and again on Thursday. So here's the deal. I was traveling all day yesterday. My flight schedule was, just call it problematic, so I'm here on Friday instead, which is fine because it'll be a nice opportunity to look ahead to what should be a fun weekend in college basketball. And the guy that's going to help me do it is my buddy Jason Horowitz, who, of course, hosts Inside College Basketball. That's weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on SiriusXM. Jason, how you doing, man?
What's up, GP? How are you?
Everything's going okay. I'm just, I was flying all day yesterday. I will be flying later again today. So I got one of those, you know, it's this time of the year when sometimes the schedules are not ideal. So I've been gone 3 nights, home last night, and then headed to Kansas later on today. We'll be there tomorrow for Kansas-Oklahoma State. Then on Sunday, going to drive over to Wichita State, spend the day with Greg Marshall and those guys. And then Monday, back to Kansas for the Jayhawks and Baylor. And then home again on Tuesday, at least for a few days. So it's busy, but I realize I'm preaching to the choir here. You're a busy man with a baby at home as well.
Yeah, no, we're kind of living in the same world, although I can't imagine our babies are living the same life as yours, having a 10-year-old brother. So that's got to be even more difficult on you. But yeah, 3.5 months in, and hair's a little grayer, a little scruffier in the beard. But she's doing great. And she had told me she liked basketball season better than football season. Clearly, it's my baby.
excellent. Well, listen, I told you I'm going to Kansas this weekend, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But I want to start with what should be the other high-profile game of the weekend, and that's probably Pitt at Syracuse. And I want to start there for two reasons. A, because you had Jamie Dixon on your radio show yesterday, and B, because you're a Syracuse graduate. So let me ask you this first. Is it weird for you to have Syracuse playing Pitt for first place in the ACC?
You know what? I've totally forgotten about conferences in general yet. And the reason for that being said is, I mean, yeah, we talked about it with Jamie Dixon, but like, you look at Syracuse and their first 6 games in the ACC, they might as well have been playing the year that Carmelo Anthony played, because it was Miami, it was Virginia Tech, it's Pittsburgh, it's Boston College. They got Miami again coming up next week, and you know, the one game against North Carolina, but it's North Carolina who doesn't look anything like North Carolina that we actually have come to know, so we might as well throw them out of the ACC.
Right.
I guess on the surface it's strange, you know, Pittsburgh, Syracuse first place on the line in the ACC, but Pittsburgh and Syracuse have played for first place on the line anyway. I mean, they've done it before. I think the stranger part is the fact that it's, you know, nobody is shocked to hear that Syracuse is good. I mean, whether or not undefeated, it may be a little shocked at this point of the season, but to think that Syracuse would be top 5 in the middle of January, I don't think anybody would be shocked. But, I mean, Gary, if I said to you back in, October that Pittsburgh was going to have one loss heading to January, would you have said, okay, sure? I guess, when you look at their schedule, maybe.
Yeah, the only reason I would have said it was schedule, maybe. But the truth is, and I've been dismissive of Pitt for a little while. It's interesting because I know – one of the things Jamie Dixon told you yesterday was, you know, the quote was this, you know, the ceiling was pretty high for this team, but I understand even though we're 16-1, people didn't look at us until now. Well, I've looked at them previously, but it was a little hard to take them seriously because of the schedule, non-league schedule Jamie put together. There's just not much there. They've, you know, for a while they had really only played one other high profile team, and that was Cincinnati, and a game played in the 40s at the Garden that they lost. But when you combine the record with what all of the statistical analysis show, which is that Pitt is a legitimate top 20 basketball team, I don't think there's any question that things are going probably better than I anticipated, and presumably better than Jamie anticipated as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're really, what he talked about yesterday was the fact that, look, we're a really good shooting team. You know, when we're in our offensive sets, we're making buckets. And you couldn't say that about last year. I mean, they didn't have a point guard last season. They had all kinds of other issues last season. But they've got that all squared away now. And they've got young guys. I mean, they've got freshmen who have to – look, Deron Johnson being out for the year, now they've got guys who have to eat up those minutes and have to play their roles. But, you know, Gary, you've covered Jamie Dixon for, what is it now, 15 years, 10, 15 years, whatever it is that you cover the national scene. And, you know, it's guys that there are certain places they don't recruit one and done, you know, for the most part. And Pittsburgh is one of them. You know, he thought Lamar Patterson would be better than he was before this year. But when they recruited him, they thought in a couple of years they could have an athlete. Now, they knew he had to drop some weight from the point he got there, but he talked about that yesterday. He said, look, he finally got that down. He's finally at that 215, 220 range we wanted him to be. We would have never called him an athlete when he got here. He's absolutely an athlete now. And he's scoring 17, 18 points a game in the ACC for a team that is extremely efficient as a basketball team. So I think it'll be a great game. The other thing that I thought was interesting, and Bruce Prokop talked about it on the show with it, because, you know, they've always given Syracuse problems, whether it's at the Zoo or whether it's at the Dome. He talked about the fact that we're good against the zone because when we do play zone, we play their zone. So from day one of practice, we practice against that zone, and that's why we're good against it. So I think it'll be interesting. I mean, they've got guys who can handle on the high post. They got guys who can hit the three. I don't think they're going to win. I think Syracuse will win, but would it surprise anyone if Pittsburgh went in there and won? No, because we've seen it so many times before.
So you talked to Jamie Dixon yesterday. You talked to Jim Boeheim on your show earlier this week. Does he, and I know Jim's never going to be the type to come on the air and go, hey, listen, we really got something special here. But does he think he's got a legitimate national title contender?
I know he doesn't want to retire.
Yes.
I know that's true. And if you ask him, he'll, you know, bite your head off. But I think so. You know, he said on the air the other day, and I've heard him say this before, but he said, look, there are Jim is one of those coaches who isn't stuck in his team. Gary, he follows the game. He follows other teams around the nation. He likes watching college basketball. You know, he'll watch other games. And so he knows about the other freshmen around the country. He knows about some of the other good players around the country. But he said, I wouldn't trade C.J. Fair for any of them. And maybe he would athletically, or
sure,
maybe he would physically. But in terms of intangibles and what he brings for this specific team, C.J. Fair from freshman year to senior year is probably as improved of a player as anybody in the nation. And he's playing at a first-team All-American level. He was preseason ACC Player of the Year, and he's playing like he could very well be ACC Player of the Year. And you put those pieces together with the size that they've had in the middle, the fact that Trevor Cooney is, you know, as good a shooter as there is in the country, especially in the ACC, and when he's hot. Now, he struggled last week against North Carolina, but when he's on, he's on. And then the other part of it, too, and Gary, you're much more on the recruiting circuit than I am. You know, this is not my thing, but you know, Tyler Ennis, I know he was a big-time recruit, but he wasn't a top-five recruit.
No.
He wasn't even talked about as one of the top 10 freshmen in the country coming in. But would you argue that you can make the case that he is that he would be freshman of the year?
Oh, you could certainly make the case. Now, he's never going to have the numbers for that, like Julius Randle's numbers or even, honestly, Jabari Parker's numbers or Andrew Wiggins' numbers. But in terms of being an important piece and perhaps the most important piece on a national championship contender, I mean, he's been spectacular. And sometimes, you know, like with Tyler Ennis, like you can have C.J. Fair and you can have Jeremy Grant, you can have all these guys. But if that position isn't solid for you, then you're going to have a hard time, you know, reaching your potential. In fact, you're not going to reach your potential. You got to be at the very least solid at that spot. Well, Syracuse is good at that spot. And here's the deal. It was always going to fall on Tyler's shoulders. You know, I've talked to the Syracuse staff about this before. You know, when they recruited Tyler, they didn't envision him having to be the starting point guard on an otherwise veteran team as a freshman. You know, they thought Michael Carter Williams would still be in school, you know, and I guess we realized pretty quickly last year that Michael Carter Williams probably wasn't going to be in school. But at that point, you know, your roster is going to be about what it's going to be for 2013-14. So Syracuse entered the season with some really nice veteran pieces, with a Hall of Fame coach, with all of those things. But unless Tyler Ennis was good, this stuff wasn't going to be possible. And not only has he been good, he's been great. And yeah, I knew who Tyler Ennis was coming out of high school, honestly, because I watched him play a lot, because he played with Andrew Wiggins. And so I saw, you know, you go to see Andrew Wiggins and you go, okay, who's the point guard? But nobody, you know, projected him to be this this rock solid as a freshman, if only because, you know, ask Kentucky or ask anybody else who's having to rely on a freshman point guard. They can be good by, you know, end of January, February, March. But Tyler's been good like pretty much from the start, and it's been a lot of fun to watch from a distance, and I know for Syracuse fans as well.
And that's the other part too about Saturday's game, which makes it even that much more interesting and exciting, or something to watch. James Robinson's a good point guard too. You know, I don't know that we would have said that last year, and he's not handling the ball all the time, but he's got, you know, when he is a great passer. I mean, his assist to turnover ratio. And again, I get the idea that he's not handling the ball all the time, but he had 4 assists a game. His assist to turnover ratio is like 5.5 to 1. He doesn't give the ball away either. So, you know, Syracuse is one of those teams that's all about the steals and transition points. And, you know, they're up there leading the nation and we're close to it again this season. But they may not get those opportunities against Pittsburgh. So, I don't know. It's going to be somewhere in the 50s, low 60s. I don't see anyone getting 70 points. But it'll be a fun game.
It's going to be a fun game on Saturday. A fun game that I will try to catch on TV. And then, of course, I will be inside Allen Fieldhouse for Kansas, Oklahoma State. It has been hyped, honestly, since late summer as the day that Andrew Wiggins and Marcus Smart would play against each other for the first time. As you know, those guys play different positions. They probably will not find themselves guarding each other too often, although I could imagine a scenario where if Kansas needs a stop in the final 2 minutes where Bill Self throws Andrew Wiggins on Marcus Smart and just says, hey, use your length and athleticism to be disruptive, make him get rid of the ball. Still, anytime you can get two players of this caliber, two projected top 5 picks who are both athletes on the floor together, it's going to be fun. What do you make of this matchup tomorrow at Allen Fieldhouse?
Yeah, no, it's great. You know the most impressive thing to me about Marcus Smart is that, you know, when Michael Cobbins went down for the year, the conventional wisdom was, well, you know, you kind of lost your rim protector, you kind of lost your big guy, the team's not going to rebound as well. And what is Marcus Smart? He's a really, really big point guard, right? Very talented. People know he's got good passers. But if you just look at his rebounding the last couple of games, right, 8 against TCU, 13 against West Virginia, 11 against Texas, to go along with the 5 assists he's getting a game, and you know, some of the steals and all the other stuff that he's getting a game as well. And he's only got 4 turnovers total the last 3 games. So, you know, ever since Michael Cobbins went down, they as a group have picked up the slack on the inside. But they're not deep. Oklahoma State's not deep, and they're particularly not deep inside. And the interior for Kansas with Joel Embiid and with Perry Ellis, that's a big problem. That's a big problem for Oklahoma State. I mean, Marcus Smart's going to carry you a long way. And I think sometimes we forget about just how good Markel Brown and LeBryan Nash are. You know, let me ask you this. If you took the top 3 most talented players on Kansas and the top 3 most talented players would be the 3 guys I just mentioned for Oklahoma State, wouldn't you say Oklahoma State has more talented top 3?
Ooh, not talented. Maybe better college
basketball. You don't think so?
Yeah, maybe college basketball players at this point. But anytime you can go Wiggins and Embiid, I mean that's 1 and 2 in the NBA draft type of talent. So
Embiid, 1 and 2 because of what he might be or what he very well could become.
Oh
not
yeah,
because
no,
of what he
yeah,
is right now.
Yeah, I think we're talking two different languages here. I think if it's phrased who has the most talent, I think it's undeniable. It's Kansas because you're going to start with Wiggins, Embiid. You're going to get to Wayne Selden pretty quickly, Perry Ellis as well. If you say who has the best college basketball players at this moment, then I could see a scenario where you go, Marcus Smart is a better college basketball player right now than anybody on Kansas's team. Markel Brown is a better college basketball player right now than anybody on Kansas's basketball team. I think you could, I don't know that I agree with that, but I think you could certainly make that argument. But so I think sometimes, you know, when you say or anybody says talent, I think purely talent NBA level. When college basketball players are different. Like I think Perry Ellis might end up being the best basketball player on Kansas's college basketball team, but he's probably not in the top 3 in terms of talent. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. But you and I, You know, you get giddy about talent. You get giddy about as long as I've known you, when we start talking about season preview, you're always talking about guys that, oh, man, he's going to be the number one, number two draft pick. It's like, wait a minute. Let's see what he actually is first. I think, and I think that's an overall statement about what a lot of people do.
Sure.
You know, like, this is obviously CBS and all that stuff, but like, what people focus on basketball, you know, what's been pushed this season? It hasn't been teams. It's been the freshman focus. I mean, that's a phrase they use on ESPN whenever they're showing highlights. It's and that's the first thing they're pushing with a lot of guys. But if you and I were to take like who's been the best basketball players for the season, or when this year is all said and done, will it be these teams that have the freshmen? Very well could be Kansas. It very well could be Kentucky in the Final Four of the National Championship. And Aaron Gordon's part of that whole freshman group that we would talk about. But if you were to talk about why Arizona's number one, he'd be part of it, but he wouldn't be the number one reason why they're number one.
No, 100%. Like, Aaron Gordon, here's exactly what you and I are talking about. Aaron Gordon is undeniably the best pro prospect on Arizona's team. It's not even close.
Without a doubt.
Is he even one of their top three players?
I don't, or
most important players? Okay, he might be three. But like, Nick Johnson is clearly more important to what Arizona's doing right now. You could argue TJ McConnell's more important to what Arizona's doing right now.
You could even argue Caleb Tarzewski.
Or Brandon Ashley. I mean, you could if you wanted to like really push it, you could get Aaron Gordon down there pretty far on the list of players who are important to what's happening at Arizona right now. So no. I understand your point, and to highlight it, underline it. Like, who gets more attention, Jabari Parker or C.J. Fair? It's not even close, right?
Not even close.
Who's the better ACC basketball player right now? It's undeniably C.J. Fair. Hey, how surprised are you, moving on, that Richard Pitino, as we wake up on January 17th, has better wins this year than Rick Pitino?
How surprised am I that Richard has a what?
Has better wins than Rick Pitino.
Well, he's played better teams, so he's had more opportunities to have better wins than Rick Pitino. How surprised? I guess a little bit. You look at Louisville, they're the defending national champions, but, you know, if you were to take three of the five best players off of the defending national championship team and move forward to next season, most coaches and or maybe all coaches would have some stumbles along the way, right? So you take off a 3 or 4 year starter in Peyton Siva.
Sure.
You take off one of the best defensive players in college basketball, who started to learn how to be an offensive player as well, in Gorgui Jang, and then you kick Shane Bohannon out of school, who was certainly a very important piece to that Louisville team last year. Less this season, a little bit less, because they started the season without him, and then maybe they knew going along that he wasn't going to be there when this year went forward. But they're gonna struggle. And the other part of it is the schedule was just boring. I mean, Louisville's schedule, other than the Kentucky game and the North Carolina game, just really, really boring. And so you lose both of those, and there's no other opportunities for those big time wins. Whereas Minnesota, you go out to Maui and you play that tournament out there where you're always going to get two or three good games, and so they got one of those and they won one of those, and they lost both of those, but they came back home and they had Florida State at home in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and they had Michigan State on the ropes at times last week, and maybe should have had that in the end, but they fell short. And so we had Richard on the show this week too, and he's kind of an interesting guy, right? Because he's old school in that he likes the tradition and the history of certain things. And obviously his dad, and so he goes old school in some of the ways he does things. But he's also really new school in that he writes a blog on the school's website.
Right.
I mean, how many coaches write a blog about the teams they've played? And he does that. And you know, he's like a year or two older than I am, and I just turned 30. And so, he's totally new school. But he also talked about the fact that he inherited a roster from Tubby Smith that had guys that can win in the Big Ten. And, you add a couple of pieces that he brought in, a junior college transfer and a guy that he brought with him from FIU. And so you brought those pieces with. And, let's not forget, Minnesota was an NCAA tournament team last year. It's not like they were god-awful and fired Tubby Smith. They were an NCAA tournament team. So, you know, lost a couple of parts in the middle. But so the long-winded answer to am I that shocked? I guess at the beginning of the season, I would have said absolutely I'd be shocked. But when you look more deeply at it, no, I'm probably not that shocked.
It's so funny, sort of the circle of life. Once upon a time, Tubby Smith was getting criticized because all he was doing was winning with Rick Pitino's players. And now here we are with Richard Pitino winning with Tubby Smith's players all these years later. Hey, let me ask you a little bit before I let you go about your radio show. Obviously, it's Inside College Basketball, Sirius XM. Weekdays from noon to 3, you work with Bruce Pearl a couple of days a week. Do you expect him to be a college basketball coach again, say, I don't know, in 4 months or so?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know what's funny is I texted him on what day. I'm trying to remember what day Dick Vitale is doing a game. Because it must have been last Thursday. Dickie V and Dan Shulman were calling a game Thursday night, and I'm blanking on what game it was. But Bruce Pearl was in studio, and they were referring to, you know, they had come back from a studio hit, and Dickie V said something about, oh, it's a shame, the NCAA, blah, 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 what they've done to Bruce, and, you know, based off of some of the other sanctions and Bobby Petrino. I think it must have been the day that Bobby Petrino got back into coaching, because it was coming off of Louisville, and, you know, he what happened there, and getting rehired at Louisville and all that stuff, and it's a shame that Bruce isn't coaching and all that. And it was the third time that week that I had heard someone on national TV, radio, or some question asked to me about Bruce being back in coaching. The show cause penalty is over after this year. The fact that he got 3 years, look, he lied to the NCAA, and we all know that's the ultimate no-no, right?
Right.
But what he did in comparison to what a lot of other people have done to get 3 years is absolutely ridiculous and absolutely ludicrous. And so will he be back in coaching? I think you're going to get multiple schools, and I think you may even get a school in the SEC or in the vicinity of the SEC that knows what Bruce means to a community, knows what he does for a program that might be down a little bit, and knows what he's all about for the most part, and will absolutely go out on a limb and say, hey, we don't even have to show why we think you're the guy. We're just going to hire you. Because that's what they do, right? I mean, and is there, Gary, is there any reason that you see Bruce not being back on the sideline next year at least a high mid-major to major program?
Oh, I think he's going to get a major conference job, and I think it's going to be an athletic director at a school with a historically strong football program that has either historically struggled in basketball or recently struggled in basketball, and then it is such an easy sell to your fans. It's an easy sell.
Easy sell.
Easy sell, because you're going to say, listen, what we're asking Bruce Pearl to do, like when you hire, you know, and listen, I love Richard Pitino, right? So I'm just bringing his name up because we just got through talking about it. But when you hire Richard Pitino at Minnesota, you're sort of selling a blank slate. You know, you're selling hope, you're selling optimism, but we don't really.
You're selling a name.
You're selling a name, of course. But I don't want to discount Richard and say he's only getting these opportunities, you know, because of his last name. His last name helps, there's no question, or opens doors, there's no question. But still, and he's, listen, sitting here at this moment, he's doing a hell of a job. So, but my point is, you have to sell sort of something that's not tangible. You have to sell, listen, we think this guy can do it, here's all the reasons. When you go hire Bruce Pearl at a school like the school I just described, you don't have to sell, some idea. You just say, listen, I'm not asking Bruce Pearl, we're not asking Bruce Pearl to do anything that he hasn't already done. He took a Tennessee basketball program that was completely irrelevant and turned it into somebody that was ranked number one in the country, that got a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, that knocked off a national championship Florida team twice, that beat a Memphis team that was undefeated, ranked number one with Derrick Rose in Memphis. We're not telling you what we think Bruce Pearl can do. We're just explaining to you what he's already done, and there's no reason he's not going to do it here. Yeah, no, it's going to be easy.
It's going to be very easy to sell, and he's a personable guy. He's also going to come in and say, look, I learned from my mistakes. That's not how he's done it. You know, that's not how I'm going to go about doing it this time around. But, oh, by the way, wherever he goes, he's going to get those players. And, you know, the other thing that I've learned from Bruce, because I didn't know, he and I have not been together for 3 years. And I had met him once or twice before at a Final Four, but I didn't really know Bruce very well until the last 3 years. And we spent some time together, you know, media days and some other things. So we spent some time together along the way here the last 3 years. But one of the things that you completely get from Bruce is that he gets the kids that he has. And what I mean by that is, like, I don't think all coaches resonate with the kids that they get, that they bring in. But he resonates with those kids in that he gets their personalities. He understands when some kid is a whiner and needs something, and he's gonna get the best out of those kids. If a guy is selfless, you know, maybe he'll put him on the bench because he knows he'll handle it just fine. But the guy that's on the bench, he's playing like crap because he's coming off the bench and he wants the glitz and glamour of having his name introduced and all that stuff. So they put him in the starting lineup. He'll play 10 minutes. The other guy will play the 30, and he'll be fine. They'll get the best of both worlds. You know, like, Bruce will do that at a program. He'll get good players. They'll win basketball games, and the university will be fine. And you know what else? I'd go a step further. I would be willing to bet before his career is over that Bruce will make a Final Four. Before his career is over, Bruce will make a Final Four.
I think
I don't know what the next school that he goes to. They'll make a Final Four.
I think that's
none of us will be shocked.
I could get on board with that. Well, listen, I've kept you here long enough. I know you've got your show coming up this afternoon. Make sure you're following Jason Horowitz on Twitter. That's at Horowitz Jason. You can listen to him, of course, on SiriusXM noon to 3 weekdays on SiriusXM. And Jason, I really do appreciate you being here, man. Thanks so much.
All right, GP, talk to you soon, bud. Safe travels and kiss the baby.
I will do. I'm actually not allowed. I'm battling the flu. I've been home for 24 hours and I am banned from kissing the baby or even touching the baby. Or holding the baby. It's been a depressing 24 hours.
Yeah, I had bronchitis last week and had to do the exact same thing. But the worst part about that was for Westwood One, we had North Carolina Syracuse national radio, and I sounded like I hadn't hit puberty yet. That was embarrassing.
Well, you sound
maybe I still sound like that.
Well, you sound beautifully today. So thanks so much, man. I'll see you real soon.
All right, bud.
All right. And to the rest of you listening, thank you for being here at CBSSports.com, listening to the pod, reading what I write, interacting with me on Twitter. Remember, you can subscribe to the Ion College Basketball Podcast. That's over at iTunes. Make sure you do that. It's the quickest way to get the latest podcast, whether it's on Thursday or Friday. Be back on a regular schedule next week on Monday. Matt Norlander, Jeff Borzello will be with me. So till then, take care of yourself. Yeah.